All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you here from New York City on the 23rd day of May, 2017. And I want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, want to invite you to keep your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises coming along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions4taylor@gmail.com. Want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show, DynaCert, Inc., TriMetals Mining, Telson Resources, Klondike Gold, RN Resources, Novo Resources, Genesis Metals Corp., and GMV Minerals Corp. Now, all of these companies are sponsors to this show because I have chosen them. Each of them are recommendations in my newsletter, which is written for the benefit of my paid subscribers. I do not charge money from the companies to say nice things about them. I pass on the stories of companies to my subscribers who pay me for my independent ideas, and the companies I write about are companies that I have independently decided are worthy of them, of telling about them. So that, in fact, is why I am one of the newsletter writers that participate in the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver. The next one that I'll be attending is in November. The companies that are sponsors to this show were invited to be sponsors because I value them highly, and in all cases, when there are some significant news events, I try to pass them on, sometimes on the show if possible, but for sure in my newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Now, one company that is not currently a sponsor is GoldMoney.com. However, it is a company that I cover in my letter, and I have had several representatives of that company on the show, James Turk, Alistair McLeod, Roy Sabag, Daryl McMullen, for example. I have them on because I value the services. Not only do I like Gold Money as an investment, but also I value their services and what they can mean to you. That's why I talk about them and have them appear on this show so that you become familiar with the services that Gold Money provides, which leads me to a question from a regular listener to this show named Alan. He's from Australia. Alan wrote recently suggesting that he recently bought some gold through Gold Money thanks to this show, but he says he really is, he wants to know, is it possible to track the financials of this company? Now he's put his money in Gold Money, wants to make sure that it's going to be secure. Well, happily, the answer to that is yes, because Gold Money is a public company, trades on the Toronto Exchange. I expect it will shortly be trading in New York on the New York Exchange, from what I understand. As of December 31st, the company had $117 million in net worth. It had tangible net worth of $60 million, of which $56.8 million of that was in cash and short-term liquid assets. So the balance sheet is strong. I recently met up with Roy Sabag in New York, and he was suggesting the first quarter numbers will be coming out soon will be very strong, and I plan to dig into Gold Money's financial numbers in my weekly newsletter as soon as the company publishes those numbers. So those of you who may have the same concern that Alan has, those of you who want to know that their money, their investments, their gold is secure at Gold Money may want to consider subscribing to my newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can do that by going to miningstocks.com. Well, I've titled today's show, Does the World Have Too Much Capital? Mark Chandler visits for the first time. Michael Oliver is with me now, and we'll be hearing from him in just a moment. And Dr. Quentin Henning of Novo Resources will be with me after the first commercial break. Well, picking up from where journalist and presidential advisor Charles Conant left off over a century ago, renowned foreign exchange strategist and Professor Mark Chandler squares off against conventional understanding of international economics by suggesting the challenge modern economics faces is not scarcity, but in fact surplus. Indeed, that sounds strange to me because when I studied economics at Rutgers University decades ago, I learned that economics is all about allowing markets to be free so that they can allocate scarce resources as efficiently as possible. But then, my university days occurred before it was widely recognized that the central bankers possessed godly powers of speaking wealth into being. Last I knew, speaking wealth into being was only something that Creator God was capable of doing. So have central bankers now become transcendent beings capable of defying the laws that exist within the four dimensions of time and space, such that humans no longer have any lack of ability to create heaven on earth? Or are we really talking about surpluses for the top 1%? And massive shortages for everyone else? Or could it be that the Austrian concept of malinvestment is the problem, so that with unlimited amounts of money creation, you have malinvestment leading to surpluses in some areas and then massive shortages and dislocations in others? Whatever the case, the widely acclaimed Mark Chandler will talk about his new book, Political Economy of Tomorrow. Political Economy of Tomorrow. Mark Chandler will be with me at about half past the hour. One thing there is never a shortage of, and that's gold. And Dr. Quentin Henning of Novo Resources will be with me after the first commercial break, as I just mentioned. He'll be talking about that company's quest for finding the next Witwaters Rand deposit in northwestern Australia. Certainly some great strides towards that, it would seem. We'll be talking to Quentin right after the first break, but commercial break. But right now we do have Michael Oliver with me. OliverMSA.com. Go there, learn more about Oliver Michael's service. Thank you, Michael, for being with me again today.
Great to be here.
Michael, the U.S. dollar index, you were telling us if it breaches 99 at the end of the month, that's a pretty sure sign that we're into it's a pretty sure sign that we're in a new bear market for the dollar. How's it looking to you now, and what might that mean for some of the other markets that we like to follow on the show?
Well, actually, we had a revision to that. It was a monthly close at 99 or lower, we had said, beginning of the year. And the dollar index, which is heavily weighted by the euro, probed toward that early in the year, went back up to the highs, 102, 103 level, came back down toward 99, slipped below it a month or so ago, rallied back up again, refused to close a month below it. Right now we've traded below 97 this week. The intra-week, though, we had a weekly sell signal if it closed at 97.50 or lower, and that was achieved last week. So we're bearish.
Okay.
Not just short-term bearish. We're bearish based on annual momentum downturn. Usually annual momentum trends measured by the momentum readings against like a 36-month average or a 3-year average. It was a long-term average we're measuring against. Not whether you cross above or below it, but the structures that are developed when you plot the price in relation to, in other words, you oscillate it versus that average, you come up with a visually different picture of a given market. So while you look at the dollar index on a chart, and you're not quite sure looking at it now whether it's breaking down or not, mm-hmm. It's still 4 or 5 points above last year's price low, for example. Mm-hmm. But when you run an annual momentum chart, it's so clear it smacks you in the face.
Yeah,
a blind man could see it almost. It's a terrific structure. It's broken now. Evidence you want to look at other assets in the world markets, the four asset categories, to see a reflection of that if you can. And I was just perusing through some spreads today. Spreads being a relative performance measurements of A versus B. In this case, I was looking at sectors within the S&P, and in running a spread of the XLI ETF, which is the industrial sector ETF, in other words, the companies that make the big equipment and sell it around the world and so forth,
mm-hmm.
that spread is pushing toward a triple top breakout above
wow.
highs going back several years. Now, that would make some sense if the dollar is breaking down.
Right.
That sector, relative to, that doesn't mean it's going to go up in price. It just means it's going to do better than the market.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense then that spread is doing what it's doing, namely looking very hefty, like it's going to go up big time, again, on a relative basis. So that would reaffirm what we see in the downside in the dollar. Other indicators of that would be pending breakout structures in commodities. Well, gold's already broken out, but the gold miners have had a big pullback, and they now have a structure frankly, about 20 cents above today's high on the GDX index, if they can overcome by much, it says they're gone. They're on the second wave up. They're refreshing their bull market that signaled last February. Grains, similar pending structures, literally hairs above where the market is now in the corn, soybeans, and wheat. So a lot of things that would affirm a dollar down are present. I think it's not just the dollar, it's being echoed in other markets.
Yeah, well, certainly one of the things I like about your work, Michael, not only the fact that it's been spot on almost every instance that I've been following, at least the markets that I'm following, is this understanding of the interrelationships, as you just point out. It makes a lot of sense. It's not none of these markets act in a vacuum. Well, with just a minute left here, the equity market, though, is stubbornly refusing. I mean, three of your four major plate tectonics are now, assuming that you're right about the dollar, are now heading in the directions you've been talking about. But the equity market's still being stubborn, aren't they?
Yeah, it's being stubborn, and it's right now the S&P's trading, where it was 3 months ago. Okay. it won't break down. I had a number for last week that it dropped precisely to the number and refused to hot-footed it out of there. It was 23.53 on the S&P. It could not close the week there, and it traded there and said, gone, rally back up again. The numbers rise each week. I'm a pending bear on the S&P and the broad equity markets, the developed equity markets. It is not the emerging. On the emerging markets, I'm bullish.
Yeah.
But it looks like a matter of when it's going to break down, not whether. They may try to hold it off until next quarter, but I don't see upside sustainability.
All right.
Does not apply to the market.
All right. Well, very good, Michael. Thank you so much for being
with
us again. It's always a pleasure having you. I always look forward to these discussions. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look to do it again next week if possible. Folks, that is all the time for this segment. We are going to break, but don't go away. Dr. Quentin Henning of Novo Resources, my top pick, my favorite stock, actually. So I'm really looking forward to what Dr. Henning has to say about the progress being made on his Beaton's Creek project in northwestern Australia. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Orin Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Orin is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
Telson Resources is building a new gold mine in Durango State that is destined to become one of the highest-grade gold producers in Mexico. Telson plans to commence production in early 2018 to mine over 1,000 tons per day by the end of the first year. Telson presents an exciting opportunity to investors seeking to position themselves in an exciting and robust new undervalued gold mine opportunity. Telson Resources trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under symbol TSN and on the OTCBB under symbol SOHFF.
Tri-Metals Mining is a growth-focused mineral exploration company exploring and developing its near-surface Gold Springs gold-silver project in mining-friendly Nevada and Utah. Tri-Metals has only drilled less than 10% of the gold targets at Gold Springs, and it already has a gold resource with a robust preliminary economic assessment. Tri-Metals believes that with further drilling, there is a significant potential to discover 3 to 5 million ounces of gold at Gold Springs. Tri-Metals shares are listed on the OTCQX and the TSX under symbols TMIAF and TMI respectively, and its website is trimetalsmining.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.